פרק תשבוב הנה הנה כמו שהמסבונים פייג' 80 So he's going to explained already what are the tools to use to be kol neprishus. Hinei kmo shehizbonin al zeh hadover goren knias aprishus. Just like he said, if a person takes the time to really think deeply into how short-lived, unimportant, and dangerous many of the tadugim of Olam Hazeh are, so he would be able to easily avoid them. Kach sichluso mafsidoso, so the mafside prishus are the opposite. A person doesn't think, right? The hasmada bein hasorim, and he, just the opposite, he hangs around places and people that give him the incentive to want to indulge more in this world. He hangs around Hasmada bin Hasorim, Vanshi Hagdulos. He hangs around rich people and important people, Harotim Achrakovid, Umar bin Mahevel, people who have the ability to run after a lot of Kovid and also to have a lot of luxuries. Kibirosu es Hayokarahu, Vahagdulahi, Yefshir Shalotisor, Tavoso, Bolachmoroso. It's almost impossible for a person who's in that environment, who sees all this covet and all these luxuries, not to want them. And that's the opposite of precious, where a person feels he doesn't really need them, and he understands how dangerous they could be, and many of them, how trivial they are, and how much he doesn't have to depend on them by being in a better environment. So even if in the end he doesn't let his Yetzer Hara overpower him, right, but still, he at least is now in the, he put himself into a situation where he has the nisayon. Right? This is similar to what the Michtam Eliyahu says, the whole concept of nekudas ha-bechira. Right? There are three areas in a person's bechira. Those things that he's already conquered by habit for the good. That's like your territory. Then there's the area that the enemy has conquered for the bad. Things that you're in the habit of doing that are bad. And then that's where the Mulchama of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov is in the middle ground, the no man's land. Haven't been yet conquered for a habit for the good, not yet conquered a habit for the bad. And that's where you have a choice. That's where you have what's it called? The choice presents itself. So anything that's been conquered for the good already is much more secure, and you're much more into your own territory than in the area where there's at least a shayla. So if you change your nekudas habechira from a certain area, from being in your territory, even if you don't put it into the Yetzer Hara's territory, but you put it into no man's land, you've already gone down a level, because you're now closer to doing an aveira than you were before. So therefore, even if you will not in the end do anything wrong, and you won't be tempted, you'll be tempted, but you won't give in to the temptation of indulging in these things, lamaisa, you're one step closer to it. Dehinehu besakona, and that puts you in danger, right? And not only that, but it seems from the Medrash that a person who is willing to put himself into a dangerous position, and he knows that he could make the wrong choice, right? That that what's it called? That it's considered already, by putting yourself in that situation, considered already as if you made that wrong choice, just by putting yourself in a precarious position. Two places we see that. One is it says that Arami Ovid is Avi, right? Yoavin wanted to destroy Yaakov, so the Medrash says on that the following. Lo yorad Yaakov Avinu la'aram elo lehi oved. Yaakov Avinu did not go down to Aram without, with, except with the intention of being destroyed. Umalo alav hakasuv alav ankilu ibdo. And the Torah considers if he loved and destroyed him. So what does that mean? He went down to be destroyed. But he knew that it was possible that the evil influence of Lavan could destroy him. Okay? And therefore, putting himself in that situation is called, even though he was hoping it wouldn't happen, and he was going to work on it not happening, but he knew it was a possibility, putting yourself in a situation where even the possibility exists is as if you're accepting that alternative also. And therefore, since he could have destroyed him with it, Yaakov, persevered, overpowered it. But it could have happened. And therefore, it considers to love him as if he did it. And Yaakov as if that was his intention to begin with. Another place we see this, the famous Medrash, by Yoel Moshe Loshevis Saish, that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took a shvua that his first child would go to Avodah Zorah when he started to stay with Yisroh. So he made a shvua to Yisroh, the first child would go to Avodah Zorah. And in the end, he had a child, not an Ovid Avodah Zorah, but Pesel Micha, which was borderline Avodah Zorah. Moshe Rabbeinu's child was involved in that. So Nichtam Elio explains, what does it mean? She says, first of all, he brings from the Maral, whenever it says somebody took a shvua, it doesn't mean he actually swore that. It means that he made up his mind. And the result was as strong as if he had made a shvua. Shvua, it just shows us commitment. That you've made up your mind about something. And the shvua tells us that's you've committed yourself enough to be considered really, really, really deciding to do something. So if somebody made such a decision, he didn't have to say a shvua, but the Torah is made. It's as if he made a shvua. The result is the same. Okay. That means when Moshe Rabbeinu went to live with Yisro, he came to a decision as strong as a shvua that his first child would go to Avodah Zorah. So it says, what does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu understood that by putting himself in that situation, he may not turn to be an Ovid Avodah Zorah by living with Yisro. He had enough faith in himself. But he couldn't guarantee that a child brought up in that environment wouldn't be influenced, especially his first child, wouldn't be influenced by Yisro. So by agreeing to put himself in that situation, it's as if he said, I'm accepting even that alternative. I'm hoping it won't happen. And I'm pretty strong that I'll be able to avoid it. But he knew it was a possibility. Once it's a possibility and you agree to be in that situation, knowing that that is an alternative, that is a possibility, then it's as if you accepted that a possibility too, with the strength of a shvua. The same thing over here, what's it called? Even if the person, nothing happens. But putting yourself in that kind of situation is itself a danger. And therefore, it's as if you did it. Or it's as if you accepted that it could happen and be done. And that in itself is negative.
Douglas, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
If you're saying you're in no man's land, and you can go either this way or that way, right. You overcome the desire, why wouldn't it then go to the good? If you've conquered that area for the good.
Yeah, because the conquering the area for the good is where it becomes almost a habit. And you don't, in other words, like this. Somebody who's been frum his whole life doesn't wake up Shabbos morning and say, should I get my car and drive or should I walk? Right? It doesn't even come into a question. Okay? But somebody who puts himself in a situation, his no man's land is, he's not yet in the habit of keeping Shabbos. He gets up Shabbos morning and he decides, should I drive or should I walk? So this Shabbos he decides to walk. But that doesn't mean that he's not of no man's land. It hasn't become a habit yet to walk. He's still, the next Shabbos is going to still have the same thing. So it's possible to put yourself in an environment where you constantly have to make choices, and even if you make the right choice, you don't graduate to conquer it, you just won this battle.
So
but you haven't conquered
it.
Huh? It has to become habitual by you. That you've done it over. It depends on the person. It depends on the person. It could be that three times already shows that it's a chazak or whatever, but that's usually probably, there's not a certain number. It's until you've conquered that thing. Again, somebody starting to become frum, that there's some point that they don't anymore have that choice even, right, to be mechal Shabbos. They've gotten the habit of it. It may take 10 Shabbos, it may take 3 Shabbos. But it's not just because they made the right choice once or twice or even three times. It's until it becomes to the point where you've conquered that, and that's not an issue anymore. Okay? And for different people, different things. Right? So just because you put yourself in a situation where now you have to make those choices, just because you overpowered it once doesn't mean that you don't have to make the choice again. Right? You're still in that situation, and you're not in control completely for this thing. So you're still in a dangerous place. Right? When you've conquered the land, it's like a war. Sometimes the no man's land remains no man's land, except we've overpowered today, but the enemy's still there. He can overpower us tomorrow. When you've mamish conquered it, and then you set up your fortifications or whatever, right? Then you've conquered it, right? Then the battle's not there. The battle's somewhere else. Now it's mamish like the marshal. Okay, inyan ze omer Shlomo tov lo leches obeis avel mileches obeis mishta. That's one of the reasons why Shlomo HaMelech said it's better to go to a base avel, because the influence of a base avel is not going to get you entrenched in this world. But going to parties, right, may be good party, good reasons for parties. But lamaisa, it may lead you to get too much in the spirit of the party spirit, and entrench you in this world. The yokrim and akolhu haizbodudus. The best thing, though, is for a person to be alone with himself and separate himself to a certain degree from the world for at least certain times, and be able to think clearly without having the temptations of the things of this world around him. That can be taken to an extreme, too. Right? The whole Breslover, somebody called me yesterday with a shaila, not from here. Somebody from outside the Moshav. Their son became a Breslover. I really, really what that means. The father wanted the son to, the son is now of marriageable age, he's 20, 21, whatever, and he became a real Breslover. And the father would have liked the son to go and learn a trade so he can get married and support a family. Since he's not a very strong learner, he wasn't going to be, what's it called, somebody's going to sit and learn all day in kollel, so you can't get a trade. But he became a Breslover. What is the Breslov Shita? Breslov Shita is that person gets married, and he 6 hours a day is osek in his bodedus, and has tremendous bitachon that the Rabban Hashem will provide him a living, even if he absolutely does nothing, except walks around the forest and talks to God for 6 hours a day. If he can do that, talk to God for 6 hours a day, and then he doesn't have to do anything for Parnasa. Doesn't even have to learn. I guess they consider that like learning, 6 hours a day talking to God. But in any case, and then he doesn't do anything for Parnasa, and the father was extremely upset about this, to say the least. And he said, you know, I can't support him, and this is like, you know, disaster. He's going to... So, basically, but the yeshiva that he'll be in, or is like a kollel, they'll pay him for talking to God for 6 hours a day, I guess. And so I said, what he'll make is similar to what any kollel guy would make. His wife can work and earn a certain amount, and they should have bitachon that, and he's very happy with that or whatever. So I told the father he should make it clear to him that he can talk to God for 6 hours a day and have a lot of bitachon, but the bitachon should not be that his father is God's shliach to support him. That the father should let him know that he's not capable of doing that. Not because he wants to get even with him or he's not happy with what he's doing, he just can't do it. So that's not an option for him. And if he really has that bitachon, and what's it called, then I said, if you think your son is a level-headed person, that if he realizes that maybe talking to the Rabban Hashem for 6 hours a day, right, is not going to get him a parnasa necessarily, since he's not learning and he's just walking around the forest for 6 hours a day talking to whatever he talks to or whoever he talks to. So if he understands that you know, that's what he has to have bitachon in, if he really holds from it, and if bidyevet, I said, what do they do if it doesn't work? What's the bidyevet? The bidyevet is that they go around door to door giving out Rabbi Arusha's svarim. and that's their hishtadlus. And are selling the svarim. I don't know exactly. They sell them or they give them out, and they expect people to give them the davus, and they live from that. Well, that's the bidiyevid. I said, if he realizes that maybe bidiyevid, he may have to get a job, right? And he's level-headed enough to understand that, then I would say don't force him to do something that he's not going to be as successful anyway. He's not going to be, his heart's not going to be in him. He's not going to learn parnasa anyway. So let him try this out, and if he's successful and his bitachon is taka strong, then the Rabbanu Shalom will provide him with a living, and what he's doing anyway is pretty much not different than what other people do, ishtadlis, who are learning or whatever. So he just considers learning just both to do 6 hours. But again, you can take this to an extreme. The father asked me, tell me the truth. What do you hold from this? I said, look, for myself or for my children, I would think it's totally, out of the box completely. But Lamaisa, that's what they hold or whatever. And he really, buys into this. So, and that's what makes him happy in life. So, don't make him miserable and let him face the realities. If it works, Baruch Hashem. If it doesn't work and he's a level-headed guy, and he knows that you can't bail him out, then he'll have to find something else to do. After he gives out Rabbi Arusha's Svarim and becomes a millionaire or whatever, he'll find something else to do. In any case, so just hit me now, this Hisbodadus thing. So you can take it to an extreme, okay? I obviously do not buy into that sheet of that is the tachlis of a person to walk around 6 hours a day, not to learn Torah, not to do anything constructive except to be misbodeid, okay? But the Mesillas Yesharim does say that his bodedus is a positive thing when it's done properly, okay? Balancing out everything else a person has to do and should do. In any case, the yoker min hakol hu ha'isbodedus, ki kamosha meser me'enu v'inyani ha'olam, by being misbodeid within yourself, going and wandering away from civilization where you are tempted by all of the things that civilization has to offer. Kein maver chemdosa milibo. So it's easier to take these things out of your heart. Kvar hisker David HaMelech, B'sheva Chesbodidus, David HaMelech spoke in favor of Hisbodidus. V'omar miyitim le'aver kiyona, who will give me the wings like a pigeon, that I should be able to fly away into the desert and be away from people or whatever. Hine archik medod alin b'midbar selam. Okay. So there is such an idea of people wanting to be alone, away from civilization. There is such an inyan. In fact, it says in Pirkei Avos, this week's Pirkei Avos Taka, that there are certain times when a person has a chance to be up at night and alone, what's it called, traveling in the roads away from people, and it could be a positive thing. And if a person doesn't use that time for what's it called, for thinking about Torah and positive things, just waste those opportune times, then that's also a negative thing. So there are positive things about that. V'hanevi'im Eliyahu ve'Elisha matzanu hayosam miyachdim mekom mal hehorim. The neis bo to do so. Eliyahu and Elisha, right, were koveya their place in mountains. They were mountain men, right, away from normal civilization and being able to not put themselves in an environment where they had the temptations of Olam Hazeh that they didn't need. And they were able to function like that. Not everybody can function on top of a mountain or whatever. Some people function very nicely like that. And some people would feel that they're lost. V'achachomim hachasidim harishonim holchu bikvoseim. And not only the Nevi'im did that, but the chachomim hasidim harishonim also. They found this as a tremendous tool to be away from civilization, at least partially, right, to be a tool to be kone precious. That they shouldn't be exposed to people who are involved in such trivial gashmiistic things, and they would have the Nisayan to follow in their footsteps. However, person has to be very careful when it comes to precious, and the Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says it's true with every midah, but with precious even more so. Shelo yirtze ha'adam ledalig velikvot zel akotze ha'achron shebo berega echad. A person shouldn't want to jump too fast to reach these madregas. Always say that if a person tries to jump up a flight of stairs, he usually falls backwards and breaks his neck. You have to go one step at a time. Slowly but surely. Not all at once. Because if you go too quickly, right, you're not going to be kona that madrega, and in the end you're going to lose it altogether.
If he does get to that madrega, how different is that from being from being like a monk in a monastery? I mean,
you know, so that's we explained. It's not that abstinence is a mila to itself. All those things in the world that you need or can use in a positive way, you're supposed to use. It's just to stay away from those things that you don't really need, and that you not only won't use for the good, but are danger to you, that they'll pull you to do bad. But the things that you know that you can use for the good, and you can, what's it called, are not, no danger to you to use them for the bad. Other of us, a mitzvah to use them, and what's it called. The monks consider it a intrinsic mila not to have anything to do with this world. That's no intrinsic mila. It's just that in there are certain cases, right, certain things that the way that you use it is negative, and therefore it's good if you're going to use it negatively to stay away from it. But if you can use it positively, that's Kedusha. We're going to talk about the Drasha of the Shabbos. But a little bit of Chazorah from here and some extra things. But that's Elia Porish Vaholichmat. A person should take his time slowly to reach these Madregas of Precious. Because if you try to become a big tzaddik overnight, you can end up losing everything. Hayom yiknik tzasvimenu umachar yosif olamat. Yosef, it's all idea of Sfiras Homer. You don't just say, you know, let's go now and get the Torah. No, it's a little bit every day. Another thing, or what's it called? You slowly build towards it. Achis ragu bolagamre, ki yoshiv lo kamoteva momash. Because that's what happens when you work on it slowly. And you do piecemeal, little by little. The little that you do, you're able to really internalize. And then it becomes like your nature. Then you can go on to the next thing. But if you try to grab everything at once, then it's very external. It's not something that you really have grasped. And you're basically holding on to it in a very artificial way, and eventually you lose it. Remember that after the Six-Day War, there was a tremendous hisorus for tshuva here in Eretz Yisrael. I remember that they were collecting money to send tefillin here because there wasn't enough tefillin there, so for all the people wanted to start putting on tefillin. And Rav Shiva said over a story that he heard, there was a pilot that a miracle happened to him. There were three Syrian MiGs that were converging on his plane, and he realized that they're going to shoot him out of the sky, and that's going to be the end. And he wasn't a frum guy, and he screamed Shema Yisrael, feeling that this is it. In another few seconds, they have him locked in on their missiles, and that's finished. And he went into a cloud. When he came out of the cloud, the three MiGs had disappeared. They weren't there anymore. Mamasham Nes. Right? What happened? He never found out. I never heard of him. I don't know what they were. But then he said, Nes happened. He landed, and he said he's going to, from now on, be frum. That's it. He's going to Kabbalah on himself to be a totally frum person. And he started keeping kashrus and Shabbos and everything. And a month later, he came to the Rav of the city, and he said, how much do I have to pay to be mater neder and get out of this being frum? Why? What happened? Went home. All of a sudden, he's keeping Shabbos. Turns over the whole house. Right, threw out everything, kashered everything, whatever. And his family thought he was going, went crazy. They couldn't deal with it. Right? And after a while, it became so overwhelming for him too, that he just couldn't keep on to it. So it took a month until it became overwhelming completely. So I remember she was saying, if somebody would have told him, look, don't do anything right now. Right? You have good intentions, you have a goal, you'd like to become frum. Start by saying Kriya Shema at night before you go to sleep. That's all. Just say Kriya Shema every night before you go to sleep, and realize that you're thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam for saving your life. And there's a Ribbono Shel Olam and Shema Yisrael or whatever. And then after a week or two of doing that, where it became now habit, and his family sees that he's saying Shema, and maybe they also would like to say Shema before they go to sleep, tell him, you know what, there's a mitzvah to say Shema in the morning too. So every morning also, say Shema Yisrael, and for another week or two he would do that, and then tell him, you know, there's an Indian taka that had put on tefillin, it says in the Shema that you should have tefillin, right? It says you should put a mezuzah on your door. So maybe, since you're saying the Shema, you should want to do what it says in the Shema. So maybe get a pair of tefillin, maybe put some mezuzahs on the door, and the family could handle that also. Right? They're still eating treif, they're still being mechal Shabbos, but little by little. And if this would have gone on, little by little, somebody would have guided them, right, slowly, to change their lifestyle, then they would have remained. But if you try to jump too fast and too much at one time, it doesn't work. It doesn't work with any midah, but it would precious, where you're dealing with doing something that is not intrinsically good. It's only good because of the results and because of the necessity. Right? And you do it in a way that's totally unnatural, it's not going to last. So that's why you put it by dafka by here, even though it applies to all of the midos. Okay, so that ends the midah precious, and because this week is Kedoshim to you, those who come to the shiur get a little bit of a chazorah, but there'll be more extra things in there also on the, in this week's drasha.